without Tausch, and soon without Jesse, but with Josh.
We're dropping like flies.
But I'll be, God willing, if the creek don't rise, I'll be here for everything. Jesse, I do want to say publicly, not sarcastically, thank you for your service. And I am getting a lot of this. And look, I am very thankful for my lengthy career at the State Journal. While I am a grudge holder in a lot of ways, I'm not holding that one against them. It's a challenging time in our world for journalism. I've kept my subscription that I pay for. I hope more people subscribe because I do think newspapers are important. But I have gotten a lot of folks who didn't read my work previously because they had to pay for it, who now, because it is ad-supported for free on channel3000.com, have become much more avid readers
every day.
So thank
right
you.
Right there.
I appreciate having you on board, you and many, many others, because I do want them to think over at Channel 3000 that, hey, this guy doesn't suck. We're glad we have him on our team. And so I wrote earlier this week about Christian Watson.
Read that one.
Our Sunday read was Matt LaFleur talking about guys having personalities like Warren Brinson and John Williams. Some might say it's the Booger story.
I read that one.
John Williams.
Concerning.
Projectile come flying out of his nose during our interview.
Dazzling detail.
It was dazzling. We've got the Canadian import story about the Heisman Trophy for Canadian football. I got a little bit of pushback from one Canadian fan who said that Canadian college football is better than Division III college football in the States. That was based on something that Jim Nagy, who ran the Senior Bowl for a very long time, said. And look, by the way, there's some damn good football played at the Division III level right here in Wisconsin. So I did not see that as a slight, but this Canadian reader, who also got it for free, had that opinion. But today, this was fun. Savion Williams and Matthew Golden both informed us earlier in the week, or late last week, that they almost played together in college. Now, I would love it if you would read the story anyway, even though I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Savion Williams hosted Matthew Golden on his recruiting visit to TCU. But hey, guys go on recruiting visits all the time, right? You go to see all the different schools that are interested in you. Matthew Golden, 10 days after his visit with Savion Williams, committed to TCU, was ready to go there. Then they let the coach know that he wasn't going to be back in 2022, so then he reopened his recruitment, got a ton of offers, wound up at Houston, then wound up at Texas last year, and now has wound up in Green Bay, where he is the first-round pick, and lo and behold, the third-round pick is Savion Williams, who hosted him at TCU. So, Jesse, you know I love stuff like that. The most important thing is that both of them are good players. That's a cute, as Tausch would say, that's a cute story and all.
That's a cute story there.
But they obviously have to be productive as well, and we delve into that part of the story a little bit later. But you read that, so thank you for reading that. Does that prompt you to have more questions, though, about where the wide receiver position is in Green Bay?
It does, because I have questions about the other guys. Because Matthew Golden is the new fun toy that everyone wants to see out of the box and see what it can do and all that stuff. And Savion Williams, he could be a special teams player and he might have an impact as a wide receiver. And, they're bolstering that. They use two of their top three picks on wide receivers. That's awesome. What does it mean for Dontavian Wicks? What does it mean for Romeo Doubs? I think I know what it means for Bo Melton, most likely. Those are Doubs. Because of what happened last year, the tone changed on him. Wicks, we were hoping, would not go into a sophomore slump, but would elevate to become one of the top targets last year. That didn't happen. So is drafting these receivers and hearing about their potential and how excited Matt LaFleur is to have them as part of the offense, is that an indictment at all of Romeo Doubs and of Tay Wicks and basically everybody, and maybe including Christian Watson? Doesn't seem like that's the same because of the injury that's going to keep him out. But what's the status of the incumbent wide receivers with the addition of these new rookies?
All right, let's start with Romeo first, because Caleb on Twitter brought this to my attention. So this is going to seem a little circuitous, but you'll understand in a second. So the Pittsburgh Steelers today traded George Pickens to the Cowboys.
Third round pick.
Now, there is a belief, yeah, but they're like sending a sixth back, and he didn't get a new contract. I don't know what's going on. But they are expected to add Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, okay? So Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated says, I wonder if Pittsburgh is now going to raid the Rodgers-approved overage of Green Bay's receiving room after the Packers double-dipped at the position in the draft. Okay, so follow their thinking here. Then Albert Breer retweets this, Albert Breer of the MMQB at Sports Illustrated, and says, Aaron Rodgers was very fond of Romeo Doubs when they were together. I don't think that's true. And Caleb sent that along to me saying, hey, is this accurate? I don't think that's true. If you remember, Romeo had that unforgettable line about how I learned a lot from Aaron Rodgers, even though he barely spoke to me.
You did like that one.
And then I reached out to Rodgers, who then in turn said, look, I had lunch with him a bunch. Like, I tried to connect with him. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be, if he ends up in Pittsburgh as expected, is going to be pushing for them to acquire Romeo Doubs. That said, I think Romeo Doubs, as I've said many times on this program, is going into a season in which if he balls out, he's going to get paid, and it's going to be by someone else. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'm always open to being wrong, but my gut tells me that the Packers, after last year, between the concussions and not coming to work, are going to be reluctant to entrust him with a long, lucrative extension because of that. Okay, so that's the Romeo scenario. And again, I don't know if there's anything to this, but as Matt Schneidman of The Athletic poured through all the photos that Evan Siegel took when they started their on-field work for Phase 2, Romeo Doubs wasn't in any of the pictures either. So that may mean nothing. It may mean something. That said, that's Romeo's situation. So would they trade him? Maybe. That would be good news for Bo Melton, right? I mean, he gets to stick around. We've talked about Christian Watson earlier in the show making progress from his ACL and hopefully being back. Maybe he thinks he'll be back before November. That's still my expectation. But the two guys you're really talking about, Jesse, are Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah, Reed I'm not as concerned about. I don't know if that's misguided or not, but I feel like there's still optimism around his role in the offense. But maybe I'm wrong about that. You tell me.
No, I think there's still a confidence in him, but there is a... We have to figure out how to get him more involved and more productive after the second half of last season. I think that's Matt LaFleur's thought. And he did make the comment that he was pretty banged up. He's not a big dude. Like, he's athletic, he's strong, but he's not a huge guy. He's kind of like Randall Cobb that way. And he kind of felt like maybe they needed to figure out smarter ways to utilize him. Like, I don't know, maybe don't send him around the end on a jet sweep or an end around to get blasted near the goal line.
That is a popular one. Yeah.
And hey, Savion Williams, who is 6'4", 222, and is a guy that has run the football extensively at TCU, maybe that's his role. So you don't have to do that with Jaden Reed and get him walloped anymore. But the fact remains, he wasn't super productive in the second half of last season. On the flip side of that, Dontavian Wicks, who was a drop-a-palooza, turned around and in the second half of last season was much better in that department. He fixed that problem. So we will see what he does this coming season when he gets his opportunities. But it's a weird deal, man. There's no two ways about it.
It's already starting to feel like the preseason to me when we start saying, oh, look at this guy. Oh, this Bo Melton, he's pretty good. Look at all the catches he can make. And I forget who some of the names have been over the years who have come through and have made plays in a preseason game or in training camp. We're like, wow, there's got to be room for this guy in the offense. And then we get to cut day, and they're not on the team anymore. And they move on, and we never hear from them again. And it's like, oh, okay, what were we doing? We got all caught up in that. Like, there's not enough room for all of these guys to be impact players this season on the roster, and I wonder what that means for some of the veterans who have been around for a couple of years now that haven't taken that next step. That's the question that I have in all this commentary about how excited everybody is about the two new receivers coming to town.
Well, and let's make sure that we're not getting ahead of ourselves either on the wide receiver thing. Like, Matthew Golden is still going to be a rookie. Savion Williams is still going to be a rookie. And that it does take some time for those types of player to evolve. Now, if Matthew Golden's not having an impact as a rookie, then they've got real problems. There's no question about that, right? You don't draft the guy in the first round to have him be a 12-catch guy on the season. And I don't think that'll be the case, but their expectations are for him to be impactful right away. I don't know what Savion Williams is, because we can talk all puppy dogs and ice cream and seashells and balloons about how awesome his diverse skill set is, but he's a third round pick, and that he could be, he could be great, right? He could be James Jones, because they drafted him in the third round. Look how good he turned out to be. Amari Rodgers was a third-round pick, too, who had return ability and running ability and everything else, and that was a complete failure. So let's be careful about how many eggs we put in that basket. All right, Jesse, before we switch to Milwaukee, we need to play trivia.
That is correct, and it is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, which I know Tausch will be disappointed to not be part of, but
the
break.
Of course, presented by Vortex Golf as well. All right, let's take caller 9, 844-770-3776, caller 9, 844-770-3776 to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. I want to remind you, here's a geography thing for you. The Orpheum Theater is in Madison, and you're going to want to be there on June 26th. To join Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Coach Bo Ryan, and more for an intimate night at the Orpheum in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the 2015 Wisconsin men's basketball team and their run to the national championship game. Tickets are on sale right now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Trivia's next. It's Will D. Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch-free trivia. Am I still having video problems, Jesse?
Yeah, it looks like it.
I don't understand why I could see me. I look great, by the way. This nice hat.
I believe you. Sorry.
What system you running over there?
Let's put this up. What the heck? Everything's all discombobulated today anyway.
It's quite a day. There's no doubt about it. Let's welcome in our contestant in one of my favorite cities in the world, DeForest, Wisconsin. Go Norskies. It is Steve. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys?
Well, we're good, but we'll see how you're doing after this trivia contestant opportunity for you. Because, of course, trivia is presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
So you will have a chance to win one on Friday, depending on how many entries you've got, when we draw our winner of the Vortex Golf Rangefinder. Question one, Steve, is of this. When Tausch and Jesse drive together from Madison to Rockford tomorrow to get to the Hard Rock Casino for our show, which interstate will they primarily travel upon? Will it be I-39, I-41, or I need a Coors Light after 2 hours in the car with old T?
I will 39.
One for one, although we would have accepted question three, or answer three,
yep,
as well.
That one would have sufficed.
I will be driving primarily, I believe, on 41 to 151 through Madison, because I could see our friend Jeffrey from Celebrations Entertainment tomorrow to get my photo booth for the big dance. And it looks like it's a horse apiece from Green Bay to go through Milwaukee or to go through Madison. So I look forward to that 3 hour drive tomorrow. All right, question two, Steve, is this. A longitudinally, which of these Wisconsin golf courses, each home to an ESPN Wisconsin golf outing this year, is located the farthest west? Farthest west. Is it Old Hickory Golf Course, The Bog, or TPC Wisconsin?
I will go TPC.
Two for two. Jesse, which events are at these respective courses?
Steve's two for two, getting the benefit of being in the Madison area. He knows both of these. So Old Hickory Golf Course is in Beaver Dam, host of the Radiothon golf outing that they'll be having in just a couple of weeks. The Bog in Saukville, home to the ESPN Milwaukee Open, and TPC Wisconsin in the Madison area, home to both the ESPN Madison Open in August, as well as this year's American Family Insurance AmFam Championship.
Wow. A lot of action. All right, Steve. Chance for a clean sweep here. Question three is this. Sharing its name with a former Brewers catcher, which of these Wisconsin villages is located near Toma on Highway 71?
Tausch would love this question.
It is a good question. I have to say I like it a lot. Is it Moeller, Kendall, or Lucroy, Wisconsin?
Kendall.
Jason Kendall is the catcher. Kendall is the town. Steve, you're three for three. That means you got four entries. You got a really good chance at that Vortex rangefinder. And as an assistant golf coach, I wish you nothing but good luck on that.
I totally appreciate it. You guys do a great job of what you do. And let's go Brewers.
Chance for a sweep right here.
Steve wasn't even here for trivia. He's here for the Brewers game coming up next on 100.5 ESPN.
Tuning in early. Yeah. So, again, you can listen to the Brewers go for their sweep of the Astros on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, the flagship of your Milwaukee Brewers. You can also listen to it on 100.5 ESPN Madison, as we will be departing, exiting stage left for Wildy and Tausch for the pregame coverage going into Brewers Astros. And if you want to stick around with me, even though apparently I'm not on video, and Josh DiMaggio, well, you'll be able to do that too, because ESPN Milwaukee, the ESPN Wisconsin app, the YouTube channels, we'll all have that moving forward. No Jesse, though, so that'll be good news for you. If you experience some bad news and you're injured in an accident, well, then there's only one call to make. Gruber Law Office is one call, that's all. Hopefully you never have to make the call, but if you do, they're the ones to call, the best in the business. They've got all kinds of victories to prove it, and, of course, when you want to win this battle, you'd want to have the best team available, and that's Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. All right, Jesse, I bid you a fond farewell. I will give you the last word as we transition to Josh DiMaggio and ESPN Milwaukee.
What's tough about this is I'm still going to be able to hear the show, and there's probably going to be some slander coming my way that I'm not going to appreciate very much, especially if Joshy wants to throw me under the bus for claiming the Jen Gabe and Chewy Wisconsin Broadcasters Award the other day. Something tells me that might come up. So I would like to preemptively get in front of that and say you're welcome to Jen Gabe and Chewy and everyone.
It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Hi, it's us. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. So just to recap, the only person who have been on today's show from start to finish is me. We had Tausch for 2 hours from Vegas. We had Bulaga and Homer join us, as they do every Wednesday. We had Jesse until now. And now we welcome in, wearing his wildly unpopular old school Brewers hat that they did away with, which they should have never gone to begin with. Are we going to fight about this?
I think
it is Josh DiMaggio from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios.
This is my favorite of the Brewers logos. It has behind the old school one. I think this is their best. I like it even more than the ball and mitt. I think that one stays best as an alternative. I think this is the best iteration of the Brewers logo.
That strikes me as a controversial take. Are you making up these people that agree with you?
Well, it's a few people I've seen on Twitter say something similar. So
small.
Take that.
Right. That's a small group.
We're a small vocal minority. Also, I do have to issue another correction. I have been on the show the entire time as well, just not vocally standing. I've been behind the board here since, 7 a.m., and now it's 11:30, so I'm here.
Okay. Well, yeah. Yes, and you've been in attendance. That's fair.
I'm pushing buttons back here.
Well, thanks. That's we do need. So speaking of pushing buttons, push the button for whoa, Joshy.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Now, Joshy, we're happy to have you.
Yes.
But is Jesse right in his prediction that there will be some criticism of him for the way he handled accepting a major award on behalf of you, Jen Latta, Gabe Neitzel, and Mark Chmura as winners at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Thanksgiving Gala, based on the what they're standing in front of?
There it is. I was going to say, the one criticism I have of Jesse in this is the context I was given. I actually, rare occasion here, will side with Jesse. He was kind of just thrown up to go up there, and I think people thought it would be funny to see Jesse accepting an award that wasn't for him. He seems a little too proud. That smile he has in that picture, if you didn't know better, you would think he had won that trophy. That is a guy right there who, despite not doing anything with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, is like, good for me. I really put in a lot of effort for this one. The real criticism I have is him not even entering you guys. What's the guy doing here? That's the biggest critique. I'm mad for you more so than I'm mad for us, because, hey, we still get the trophies. We still get the recognition. We just didn't get the photo op.
And by the way, for him to then claim that it's a flawed approach by our company that the producers are in charge of this.
Wow. I mean, Jason, we know the answer and the why. That's
not surprising, right? Not surprising.
Okay. Right, because how else is he going to make it someone else's fault?
Okay, well, we could go on and believe that Tausch and I would have won all kinds of major awards for midday shows had we just been entered. You can't lose if you don't enter, I believe were Jesse's famous words on that. So, okay, we didn't lose, but we didn't win either.
Whoa, Josh!
Jason, how familiar are you with the deep thought? And not deep thought the idea, deep thought the ship that was stranded since around October on the shores of Bradford Beach that became somewhat of a monument here in the city for many people. Have you followed along with this story at all?
I had not until yesterday when they were removing it at Bradford Beach. I had no idea that it even existed. I was thinking when I was a kid back in like 1977, somewhere in there, I remember there was a large like cargo ship that was moored off the coast of Milwaukee. Because I grew up in Milwaukee, and I remember, like, I know that somewhere in all of our storage is like a photo album with a picture of like 5-year-old me standing on the shore, and there's this giant ship in the background. It's a Polaroid photo of a large ship that had become stuck.
Huh.
So I thought that was something like this. At first, when you mentioned it yesterday, that's what I thought it was. And then it's like this little dinghy. And apparently, I read all about it. So for those of you that were uninitiated like me until yesterday, the owners, I don't know if they ran out of gas or they became just, they just got up onto the shallow water, but it got stuck.
Yes. So there's
and they abandoned ship.
Yes, there's even more intrigue there because nobody really knew what had happened for many, many months. And then I believe in the last month or so, this became like a monument on Google Maps. So you could put in Deep Thought Milwaukee and it would direct you to where it was in the city. The owner of the ship, one of the two, it's a couple, left a Google review and detailed her time that they had that fateful October day, to which she tells a shipwreck tale that, to be quite blunt, seems more fiction than reality.
Okay.
And this is not just me. This is people with sailing experts who have done, because Milwaukee Record did a whole thing about it. They first posted the review, and then they had people who are familiar with both Lake Michigan and sailing on it at inclement times. It seems like they ran out of gas, kind of panicked, and then ended up beaching themselves. She tried to say there was like severe winds. She got thrown from the ship. Her husband jumped off the ship to save her. And in that time that she was being saved, they then crashed into the beach there, which if you know anything about, it doesn't seem to be a logical answer. My thought is, should the city have just left it there and made it a monument? Just keep the ship there. It's stuck there. Just leave it there. People can go see it, take their pictures next to it. Because, I mean, there's been raves at Deep Thought. There's been photo, like, everything. For whatever reason, this became, like, one of those little big town stories where everybody was somehow interested in just a marooned ship.
So, a couple things. First of all, you mentioned the Milwaukee Record. I am not hip and cool. I know that comes as a surprise. But I really like what they do. I'm an avid reader of their site. It's a neat, it's kind of got a little irreverence to it. I really dig it. So I had seen that as well. I know Matt Wild, no relation, has the story on the boat being gone now today on their site. But I go there a fair amount. They've got some really cool stuff that they do. So kudos to them. Second of all, I also went to Channel 12 in Milwaukee's site to get caught up on the whole story. And apparently your friend, the woman who was part of the couple that marooned their ship, they didn't have the financial wherewithal then to remove it. So I don't know how that works. Like, if you just decide you can't afford something, you just leave it there?
Well, it like, doesn't work that way, but they tried.
So are they getting a bill for the removal of this now at some point, I would think?
Yeah, so the large reason it stayed there is because there's been a dispute between the city and the county and who's actually financially responsible. Because as you saw yesterday with the videos, Adam Roberts from WTMJ was there, I believe, for the full
I duration. Saw that, yes. I saw his videos.
It was like roughly 12 hours, I believe, it took from start to finish.
That's going to cost somebody.
Yeah, so I believe the county ended up taking responsibility for the cost because the tow company obviously needs to be paid. But I believe they are going to file some sort of lawsuit to recoup the money. But at some point, if you don't have money, if I don't have money and you're suing me, what? I mean, future wages, I guess, is what you're suing me for.
Like, have your wages garnished.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But yes, that's been largely the debate. I've been fascinated just by mainly the, I'm leaving my ship here and I'm going back to Mississippi and, well, they can figure it out over there.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
Yes. Bold strategy, Cotton. So now what, I have not caught up today. So I know they were using like cranes and the towing company and they were gently dropping it onto a special tow truck-ish thing to move it. What happens to it next? Is there like a bidding war to put it in some park? Like, what are they going to do with it?
I have no idea, but I think that would probably be a smart idea to try and recoup some of their money, like make something out of it. Maybe somebody wants to buy it and, I don't know, put it in their land. Like, who knows? But it is just being taken back to the tow lot of the company that towed it for the time being. I don't think there's any determined future for said Deep Thought.
So Deep Thought is not exactly the same as this, but there's a similar situation we had here in Green Bay with the Receiver, which is a famous statue that used to be outside the Packers Hall of Fame, which was on the corner of Lombardi and Oneida Streets across from Lambeau Field. Well, of course, we built the... Well, not we. I had nothing to do with it, but I lived here for it. We built the Resch Expo Center, which is alongside the Resch Arena, the Resch Center for basketball and hockey, etc. And so they tore down the Hall of Fame. They moved it inside Lambeau Field, which was smart when they renovated. And so they had to move the Receiver. And a brew pub in Green Bay took it on, and they moved it from there to downtown Green Bay. And then they repainted it to look like Donald Driver to celebrate his retirement. And so it still stands today down in downtown Green Bay. So I would recommend this could be a great, you know, talking point piece.
Yes.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for, in Milwaukee somewhere. So I don't know, maybe at the Milwaukee Records headquarters they could put it outside there since they've covered the story so effectively.
Whoa, Nelly!
I got one quick one here, and it always seems when I fill in, I've got gift questions and gift-giving questions. You're my go-to guy. I don't know if you've realized this, but you've become that when it comes
to gift-giving.
Because not to inflate your ego or anything here, but you're really good at it, and you have a good system, which I have tried to adopt, probably not as well as you, but, you know, I've tried to take some lessons. So it is my girlfriend's birthday this week, tomorrow, actually. But this weekend, we are going to Chicago. And my conundrum one is, I wake up to come here at 4 in the morning. So I am well out of the house before my girlfriend ever wakes up. Do I wake her up to wish her happy birthday? Or do I just let it go and let her sleep and not do anything? I was thinking, and this was a tip from Jen, maybe just leaving like the card I have and the small gift I got her on the counter as like a, hey, happy birthday. Because I don't know how to play that. Like, when I left for the draft, I also left very early in the morning. And I was like, well, I'm gonna be gone for 2 days. But I honestly think you would prefer the sleep rather than me being like, hey, I'm leaving, bye, type thing. Love you, see ya.
All right, so here again, and I appreciate you inflating my ego, because there aren't a lot of things that I'm proud of, But I am pretty proud. Like Tausch can complain all he wants that he didn't feel like I was sufficiently appreciative of the creepy pre-owned Hansel and Gretel reproduction print that he gave me. Which, again, I don't remember. I'd have to check the YouTube archives if we ever showed it on video. But since he's traveling, it was ugly. Maybe. Like, no one is hanging this in their home, and definitely not me.
Maybe you're a better gift giver than receiver.
This was just a bad gift. Like, when I get a good gift, I'm extremely appreciative. Like, so, and especially juxtaposed to my national park blanket, because he loves the national parks and takes the kids there, and then a personalized the Tauscher family national park travels frame that had little windows for each and every park that he could put pictures of the kids in because they visited so many of them. It was a lopsided gift giving. Like, you're not supposed to keep score, but this was like that first round game between Memphis and Oklahoma City.
We've all been there. You put a lot of thought into a gift. Even probably spend a little bit more money, and then somebody gives you back something that they clearly picked up on the way over to your house, and you're like, I appreciate the iTunes gift card, but I gave a little more thought to this.
I was at a local thrift shop, and I grabbed that for you.
I stumbled.
So here would be my tip for you, and another great gift giver, my friend John Kerry, has the same plan. I would leave something, like, if I were you, I would leave a nice note. Not save your card for later. Leave a nice note. Hey, thought you'd appreciate the sleep more than the birthday wish waking you up. I love you very much. I'm off to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Love, Josh. And then I would put together, if it's possible. Now, you don't want to have things curdling on the counter. But I don't know what she likes to eat for breakfast, but if you could, like, maybe pour her bowl of cereal for her, the milk is still in the fridge where it should be safe, maybe a little fruit bowl or something, like, put together a little breakfast for her that won't go bad in the time she's still sleeping with the note. I think that's the way to start off the birthday, and then you could save your gift to deliver to her in person along with your card when you see her later in the day.
So that's a great idea, but she doesn't wake up for another 3 hours usually. That's when the dog's getting her up.
Yeah, don't leave the milk out
there. Yeah, and she prefers, recently it's toast, so I don't know if toasting for her is going to be what she's looking for.
So are you saying that toasting bread 3 hours before it's eaten is not what you're looking to do?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I pull the toaster out, the bread, and just leave it all there ready to go and say...
She go like peanut butter and jelly on that? Just butter?
I think it's just butter, and sometimes if we're feeling crazy, a little peanut butter. The last thing I have here, and we're way over time with our thing, but very quickly.
Not really.
We're going to Chicago, and my plan is to take care of the hotel and the two meals. Now, there's a bunch of friends coming with us. I think there's going to be upwards of 8. Your friend Eric Kaname will also be in attendance along with...
I love him.
Along with a few other people. So is my gift being the small thing I got, which is like an insignificant amount of money, and taking care of the weekend good enough? Because all told, with hotel room and everything, it's going to be upwards of like $600.
Yeah, I think the experience and being around friends, I think you've done a great job.
Yeah, that's...
So your little trinket or insignificant amount of money, but plenty of thought put into it, I'm sure is a good choice.
Okay, that's what I started to have doubts, after a while. I was like, is this enough? Because, just laying down your debit card or credit card is not the same as a thoughtful gift, but... It's probably more, all told, than I would have ever bought for a Christmas gift.
And it's going to be a fun weekend with friends in Chicago, which is obviously a great town. So I think you're doing just fine. You guys have been together for a while now, too. So, like, I'm not saying that you lower your expectations, but you also want more experiences than things at some point in your relationship.
And we're not at the point of, you know, we're trying to, like, make good impressions with gifts. It's more of
too late for that.
Are you doing the requisite effort type of thing? Like, are you doing what's expected versus, like, wow, you blew me away with this gift you got?
Yeah, we have that same conundrum because Mother's Day is Sunday, and I'm not sure that the girls and I have done a particularly good job in recent years. So we might need to elevate our game, find some time to take care of that. We also need to find some time to say goodbye because we're almost out of time. We'll wrap things up with Josh DiMaggio live from the Grubel Offices One Call That's All Studios. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch continues next on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
All right, it was a bit of a herky-jerky show. Thanks to Tausch for pushing through. Thanks to Homer. Thanks to Brian Bulaga. Thanks to Jesse. Thanks to Josh DiMaggio for running the last half hour, even though he's wrong about Brewers logos. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us today. Tomorrow we'll be live from the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.